Every story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Once upon a time in a faraway land, and once the children knew there was no hope to see their parents, they abandoned and settled in for the long winter. Once the family was reunited, there were hugs and kisses, and they all lived. Right? Every story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's a few years after Jesus dies. We hear this from a philosopher, Aristotle. Our experience tells us that it's probably true. Today, we're in the middle of the story. We're in the middle of the story with Jesus and God. And in our Gospel of John, John has fallen silent, which is astonishing. John, the verbose one, John's like your chatty family member. You've got one, right? Don't poke them right now. This is John in the Gospels. He's like your chatty family member, but now, on this day, John stops speaking. In John chapter 19, they bury the beaten body of Jesus. And in John chapter 20, it's Sunday morning. And in between, there's nothing. Nothing. Maybe it's because Jesus is really dead and there's nothing to say. Or maybe, better idea, there are not actually words for what they've witnessed. We're in the middle of the story today with Jesus and God. Every story has a middle. This is the part of the story where we hold on. We learn how to hold on from a very young age, don't we? We hold Daddy's hand when we're crossing the busy street. Or we learn as preschool children lined up to hold on tight as we go off to recess. We hold on in junior high to every social circle. And when we're teenagers, we learn to hold hands when they turn the lights out. I ran into some of that last night in this church. We learn to hold on. When we climb rocks, we look for the best grip for our hand. If we're wakeboarding behind the speedboat, we hold on for dear life. Hold on. We learn and we know how to do that. Lowell Jordan, one of our church members, shared with us a few months ago. When he was 24 years old, he is working in a high school, an academy in North Dakota. And it turns out some tumbling team from the college, from Union College, is going to come and visit the high school kids. So Lowell has been asked by the principal to hang a rope from the ceiling on the cross beam so the tumbling team can use this rope. So Lowell gets a ladder. It's just 25 feet up to the ceiling beam. He grabs four students. They secure the ladder at the bottom and at the top with two ropes. They pull it tight. Lowell gets his hand drill, climbs to the top with a bit in the drill. He begins drilling to get this rope in place. And maybe it was the movement of the drill, Lowell says. It was just enough movement, and before he knew it, the ladder had slipped. You got a picture in your mind yet? He's 25 feet up, holding on to the end of a drill, and it turns out that the drill bit is just enough into the wood that he can hold on. He sees the ladder moving aside, so with his other empty hand and his legs, he tries to recruit the ladder to come back home. And when he realizes this is not going to work, when he's done everything he could possibly do, he tells the students down below, "Get out of the way, move the ladder, I'm coming down." And Lowell drops 25 feet to the floor. He says, "All I could remember was bend my knees when I land." The ambulance came, they took him to get x-rays, he stayed overnight, husband, father of a baby at home. When I ask Lowell, "Were you afraid? Are you afraid of ladders now?" He says, "I'm not afraid of ladders. My wife is. She makes sure I don't climb ladders." Maybe that picture of our friend Lowell Jordan hanging from the ceiling 25 feet high with a drill bit Maybe that's enough of an image today for this silent Sabbath. Hold on just a little while longer. Or for Lowell and Jordan and their daughter, their children, their grandchildren, there's an even more critical kind of holding on as Lowell pushes through two different kinds of metastatic carcinoma, ravishing his body. Hold on just a little while longer. Jesus, why don't you give us instructions for this? Give Eric and Jillian the yellow brick road. How do we get to the happy ending, Jesus? When the Bible seems to say nothing, friends, I tell you what I do. I turn a page. Go back or forward. Go to a place where Jesus actually is talking. Because it turns out that on Thursday night, when they washed feet, as we did here a couple of days ago, Jesus had a lot to say. He begins by telling the disciples, "This will get difficult. I'm going, and where I'm going, you cannot come. Jesus will follow you. You can't. But this command I give you, love one another." But why are you leaving? The questions just come and come from the disciples. It is five chapters of comforting and instructing, comforting and preparing, comforting and listening. Jesus will follow you. You can't follow me. You're getting sadder as I talk, Jesus says. You will cry. There will be sorrow. But I tell you, in John 16, he ends it this way, "I'm not going to be alone. I'm going to be with my Father. I tell you this so you'll have peace. You should know I've overcome this world." In the middle of all of that, Jesus pauses several times and says to the disciples, "Here's what you can do. Remain in my love. Remain with me, and I'll remain with you." John uses this word over and over again. Remain, abide, dwell, stay, live, be present, get comfortable, hold on. You can do this, Jesus says. Hold on in my absence. Jesus asks them to do something beyond, hold on to your belief in me. Jesus says, imagine yourself the other side of my death. Imagine that you'll remain, you'll abide, you'll dwell, you'll stay put, you'll be here, you'll get comfortable for a while, and you will remain in my love. And you'll testify to my love, and you'll witness about this kind of love. This is what Jesus asks, friends. Remain. When it seems like we don't have instructions for what we're supposed to do next, Jesus has made it so, so clear. Witness, tell stories like Yami and Eric and Jillian and Stuart did hear this. Tell, share, help each other out. Remain in my love together. I realize today that some of us don't have just a little bit of trauma. There's a whole vocabulary for silent Sabbath, for this kind of chaos. Words like disbelief and shock and horror and disorientation and, yes, trauma and suffering and pain. I realize that some of us actually have a landscape of trauma that makes up our lives. Thinking of our friends in Puerto Rico today, a hurricane-ravaged space that still is yet to come to life. Thinking many far years removed now, Hurricane Katrina in 2005. This is what one of the witnesses says from the ward, one of the wards underwater. "The storm is gone, but the after the storm is always here. The after the storm is always here." Some of us have terrains of trauma like this that we're navigating, friends. And it occurs to me today on Silent Sabbath that God and Jesus are in the middle of their trauma right alongside of us. In a world where it doesn't seem less and less like the Christian message has traction, is appealing, is good for anything, it occurs to me today while I'm standing here, one more Sabbath in the silence of Jesus, it occurs to me, but the Christian story has much to say about the middle of this. For we will live all of our lives on earth in the middle, won't we? I know, we love the happy ending. I know, Sunday morning and the Easter lilies and the brass, and can we please have the stained glass back? We love the happy endings. Jesus has given us instructions for the middle. Remain in my love. That would seem to me to speak life into people who dwell in the land of trauma. I'm thinking of the Turpin family, you know, the family not far from here in Paris, the 13 children. In January of this year, their parents were in court in the Riverside County courts this last week. Multiple charges of torture and abandonment, and 13 children, one day they will tell their story. They have found hundreds of journals in this home where the children were not allowed to watch TV or electronics or radio, but they were allowed to write journals. One day those children will witness. They will tell us how they were able to remain. The Christian story, the God of this particular Sabbath, has much to say to this kind of trauma. Oh, Sunday, there's another chapter, and John gives us evidence. More is coming, but there is a persistent divine love that remains today. I have a book I've been reading since the summer. I can only do a few pages at a time, and then I put it down again. The book is called Tell Me How It Ends. It's written by a woman who's a translator. She works for the state of New York in the immigration courts for young children, for minors, for juveniles. She began that work in 2014 when, as we know, many, many minors, children, were coming across the border from Central America countries, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador. These are children fleeing drugs and gangs and violence and governments that cannot take care of them. In her book, Tell Me How It Ends, she gives us excerpts from her interviews with these children. Her job is to sit in the court and ask the children 40 questions. She sometimes goes home and tells her own children about the children she's met at work. There's one particular little family that they've gotten attached to. The interview begins this way. Sitting across a mahogany table in New York court system, here's a 5 and a 7-year-old. The 5-year-old has crayons in her hand and she's coloring, and the 7-year-old has her hands clasped like an adult. She grins through a toothless smile every once in a while, and the interview process begins. They ask, how did you come to this country? The 7-year-old answers all the questions. Well, we came with a man. Was he a coyote? The little girl says, no, he was a man. Where did you cross into this country? Where were you? Was it Arizona? Was it Texas? Yes, it was Texas, Arizona. Was the man nice to you? I think so. It becomes clear after a while they need help from an adult. This is how their story goes. Their mother left their country when they were babies, came to this country, settled in New York where she had a cousin and family. She crossed 2 borders, never was detained. English was her second language. She'd made the long travel with groups of people crossing through desert and wilderness and finally arrived safe in New York. After enough years, she saved up money, she called back home and said to Grandma, put the girls on the phone. Girls, this is how it's gonna go. A nice man is gonna come to the house. He's gonna pick you up and bring you to me. He's done this many times. He's helped many children from our village, okay? So go with the man. Grandma's going to give you a dress, and she's going to sew a phone number into the collar of your dress. Whatever you do, don't take the dress off. Don't take it off when you sleep. Don't take it off for a bath. Always wear your dress. And when you get to the United States, the first policeman you see, you show him the collar of your dress. Okay, girls? 5 and 7. The man picks them up. They make it across a border or two. The children get detained. They get put in something called the ice chest, the ice box, the coldest room the girls ever remember being in. It takes weeks until someone takes them to a shelter, and after a little while, they don't know, but a nonprofit pays for airline tickets. They go on to the plane. When they land and get off, there's their mother, their new little brother, a stepfather, and this is their home. When the translator tells her daughters this story, the daughters say, "Mommy, is this how it ends? Tell us, is this how it ends?" Mommy says, Oh, no. She doesn't have the heart to tell them this is just the beginning. She doesn't have the heart to tell them the likelihood for most of these people residing and the complication involved. So she simply says to the children, "It's the middle of the story. Isn't it beautiful?" It is Silent Sabbath. We will gather tomorrow morning, and there will be a different kind of persistent resurrection love. And we see fingerprints of our happy ending. But I want to say, church, that sometimes there is something equally valuable as a happy ending. It is this holy in between. Amen.